Let's face it, life isn't always sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes it throws us curveballs in the form of people who seem to drain our energy, dampen our spirits, and leave us feeling like we've just run a marathon, uphill, in the rain. You know the type, the drama queens, the energy vampires, the perpetual downers. They're like emotional landmines, lurking in the shadows, waiting to explode and leave us feeling like we've been hit by a truck. But hey, even the ancient Stoics, those wise philosophers who preached resilience and inner peace, had to deal with their fair share of toxic folks. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic emperor of Rome, probably had to navigate a whole court full of scheming politicians and backstabbing rivals. And yet he managed to maintain his composure, his integrity, and his sanity. So, how did he do it? And more importantly, how can we do it? How can we protect our emotional well-being, cultivate resilience, and even thrive in a world that sometimes feels like a toxic wasteland? That's where the wisdom of Stoicism comes in. It's not about becoming cold and unfeeling. It's about mastering our emotions, setting healthy boundaries, and choosing our responses wisely. It's about recognizing that we can't control the actions of others, but we can control how we react to them. In this series, we'll explore 13 Stoic-inspired strategies for dealing with toxic people. We'll delve into the psychology of toxicity, learn how to identify the different types of toxic individuals, and equip ourselves with practical tools for navigating these challenging relationships. We'll also draw inspiration from modern-day thinkers and writers who've embraced the Stoic philosophy, like Ryan Holiday, who reminds us that the obstacle is the way, and Massimo Pigliucci, who encourages us to cultivate our inner citadel. So, if you're ready to level up your emotional intelligence, build resilience, and reclaim your power in the face of toxicity, grab a cup of coffee and let's dive in. 1. Identifying toxic traits, unmasking the emotional vampires. Before we can disarm a bomb, we need to know what we're dealing with. The same goes for toxic people. The first step in protecting ourselves is to identify the red flags, the telltale signs that someone might be a toxic influence in our lives. Now, not all toxic people are created equal. Some are like sneaky ninjas, subtly undermining our confidence and self-worth. Others are like raging bulls, charging at us with their anger and negativity. And some are like emotional black holes, sucking the joy and vitality out of every interaction. But despite their differences, toxic people share some common traits. They're often critical, judgmental, manipulative, and draining. They may gossip, spread rumors, or play the victim. They may be overly competitive, jealous, or controlling. They might also exhibit more subtle signs of toxicity, like passive aggressiveness, gaslighting, or emotional unavailability. These behaviors can be just as damaging as the more overt ones, eroding our trust, self-esteem, and overall well-being. So, how do we spot these toxic traits? It starts with paying attention to how we feel around certain people. Do we feel energized and uplifted, or drained and depleted? Do we feel safe and supported, or judged and criticized? It's also important to observe their behavior. Do they consistently put us down, dismiss our feelings, or try to control our actions? Do they take responsibility for their own mistakes, or do they always blame others? By tuning into our intuition and paying attention to the subtle cues, we can start to identify the toxic people in our lives. It's like developing a sixth sense, a radar for negativity. But identifying toxic traits isn't about labeling or judging others. It's about protecting ourselves, setting healthy boundaries, and choosing who we allow into our inner circle. It's about creating a life that's filled with positive, supportive, and uplifting relationships. As the great Maya Angelou said, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." So, trust your gut, listen to your intuition, and don't be afraid to distance yourself from those who consistently bring you down. You deserve to be surrounded by people who lift you up, inspire you, and make you feel like the amazing human being you are. If you find value in this video, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your family and friends, and write "keep it up" in the comments below. 2. Fortify your walls, the Stoic art of emotional resilience. All right, my fellow emotional architects, let's talk about building some serious fortifications around your inner peace. We're not talking about a physical fortress with moats and drawbridges, but something even more powerful, your emotional resilience. Picture this. Your inner peace is a flourishing garden, a sanctuary where you cultivate joy, tranquility, and wisdom. But just like any garden, it needs protection from weeds. Those toxic people who threaten to choke out the beauty and serenity you've worked so hard to cultivate. Think of those ancient Stoics, like the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, who ruled over a vast empire filled with political intrigue and social unrest. He knew a thing or two about building emotional resilience. He understood that true strength lies not in brute force, but in mastering one's own mind and emotions. In the words of Epictetus, another Stoic philosopher, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." This is the essence of Stoic philosophy, the idea that we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control our response. And that response, my friends, is our fortress, our shield, our emotional armor. So, how do we build this fortress? It starts with setting clear boundaries. Think of boundaries like the walls of your inner castle. They define what you will and won't tolerate, what you'll allow into your sacred space, and what you'll keep out. Boundaries aren't about being mean or selfish. They're about self-respect, self-preservation, and self-love. They're about saying, this is my space and I'm in charge of what happens here. Now, setting boundaries isn't always easy. It can be uncomfortable, especially if you're dealing with a toxic person who's used to getting their way. But it's essential for your emotional well-being. Just like a real fortress needs strong walls to withstand a siege, your inner peace needs clear boundaries to protect it from negativity. So, how do you set boundaries? It starts with identifying your values and priorities. What's important to you? What are your non-negotiables? Once you know what you stand for, you can start communicating your boundaries to others. This might mean saying no to requests that drain your energy or compromise your values. It might mean limiting your exposure to toxic people, whether that means avoiding them altogether or setting strict limits on your interactions. It might also mean speaking up when someone crosses a line. Remember, you have the right to be treated with respect, and you don't have to tolerate behavior that makes you feel uncomfortable or unsafe. But setting boundaries isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process that requires constant vigilance and reinforcement. Just like a real fortress needs regular maintenance to stay strong, your emotional boundaries need to be tended to and reinforced regularly. This might mean reminding yourself of your values, practicing self-care, or seeking support from trusted friends and family. It might also mean revisiting and adjusting your boundaries as needed. Remember, boundaries aren't about controlling others. They're about taking control of your own life. They're about creating a safe and sacred space where you can thrive, flourish, and be your best self. As the modern-day author and speaker Brené Brown puts it, Daring to set boundaries is about having the courage to love ourselves, even when we risk disappointing others. So, be brave, my friends. Set those boundaries, fortify your walls, and protect your inner peace. Your well-being depends on it. 3. Practicing detachment, your emotional Teflon shield. All right, Stoic warriors, let's talk about a superpower that can make you practically immune to the slings and arrows of toxic people. Detachment. Now, before you start picturing yourself as an emotionless robot, let me clarify. Detachment isn't about suppressing your feelings or becoming indifferent to the world around you. It's about cultivating a healthy distance from the negativity and drama that toxic people often bring. Think of it like this. You're a mountain climber, scaling a treacherous peak. The wind howls, the snow swirls, and the rocks crumble beneath your feet. But you remain focused, calm, and steady, because you know that getting caught up in the chaos will only lead to disaster. Similarly, when dealing with toxic people, it's essential to maintain your emotional balance and not get swept away by their storms. Detachment is your anchor, your lifeline, your emotional Teflon shield that allows you to observe the situation with clarity and respond with wisdom. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Epictetus, understood the power of detachment. He said, "Happiness and freedom begin with a clear understanding of one principle. Some things are within our control, and some things are not." This is the core of Stoic philosophy, the idea that we can't control the actions of others, but we can control our own thoughts, emotions, and reactions. In the modern world, this concept is echoed by the psychologist and author Viktor Frankl, who survived the horrors of the Holocaust and went on to develop logotherapy, a form of psychotherapy that focuses on finding meaning in life. Frankl said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." So, how do we practice detachment? It starts with awareness. We need to recognize when we're getting emotionally hooked by a toxic person's behavior. Are we feeling angry, hurt, or defensive? Are we getting sucked into their drama? Once we're aware of our emotional reactions, we can choose to step back and observe the situation from a more detached perspective. This doesn't mean we ignore our feelings. It means we don't allow them to control us. One way to practice detachment is through mindfulness. By paying attention to the present moment without judgment, we can create space between ourselves and our emotions. We can observe our thoughts and feelings as they arise without getting caught up in them. Another powerful tool is reframing. This involves changing the way we think about a situation, looking at it from a different perspective. For example, instead of seeing a toxic person's criticism as a personal attack, we can reframe it as their own insecurity or projection. Detachment also involves setting healthy boundaries. This means knowing what you will and won't tolerate, and communicating those boundaries clearly and firmly. It might mean limiting your contact with a toxic person, or even cutting ties altogether if necessary. Remember, detachment isn't about being cold or uncaring. It's about protecting your emotional well-being and choosing to focus on the things you can control. It's about cultivating inner peace, even in the midst of external chaos. As the Dalai Lama said, "If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion." By practicing detachment, we not only protect ourselves from negativity, but we also create space for compassion and understanding. So, the next time you encounter a toxic person, remember the power of detachment. Step back, observe, reframe, and set boundaries. you'll be amazed at how much more peaceful and empowered you feel. Lesson 4. Apply rational thinking, your stoic superpower against toxic turmoil. All right, my fellow philosophers in training, let's talk about a superpower that can turn you into a mental ninja in the face of toxic drama, rational thinking. Now, before you start picturing yourself in a toga, debating the finer points of logic with Aristotle, let me assure you, this isn't about becoming a cold, calculating machine. It's about using your brain power to stay calm, centered, and in control when faced with negativity. Think of it like this. You're a detective investigating a crime scene. You don't get caught up in the emotions of the situation. You focus on the facts, the evidence, the logical deductions. You use your powers of observation and analysis to piece together the truth. Similarly, when dealing with toxic people, it's essential to engage your rational mind. Don't get swept away by their emotional outbursts, their manipulative tactics, or their distorted views of reality. Instead, take a step back, observe the situation objectively, and apply the principles of logic and reason. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Epictetus, were masters of rational thinking. They believed that our emotions are often based on irrational beliefs and judgments, and that by examining these beliefs through the lens of reason, we can free ourselves from their grip. Epictetus said, "It's not things that upset us, but our judgments about things." This is a powerful reminder that our emotional reactions are not always based on reality, but on our interpretations of reality. And by applying rational thinking, we can challenge those interpretations and choose more empowering responses. So, how do we apply rational thinking in the face of toxicity? It starts with recognizing the difference between facts and opinions. A fact is something that can be objectively verified, while an opinion is a subjective judgment or belief. For example, if a toxic person says, "You're a failure," that's an opinion, not a fact. It's their subjective judgment, based on their own limited perspective and potentially their own insecurities. By recognizing this, you can detach yourself from their words and avoid taking them personally. Another key aspect of rational thinking is identifying cognitive distortions. These are irrational thought patterns that can skew our perception of reality and lead to negative emotions. Some common cognitive distortions include all or nothing thinking. Seeing things in black and white terms with no middle ground. Catastrophizing. Blowing things out of proportion, imagining the worst-case scenario. Personalization. Taking things personally, assuming that everything is about you. Mind reading. Assuming you know what others are thinking or feeling without any evidence. By recognizing these cognitive distortions, you can challenge them and replace them with more rational and balanced thoughts. It's like shining a light on the shadows of your mind and revealing the truth. Rational thinking also involves considering the bigger picture. When faced with a toxic situation, it's easy to get caught up in the immediate drama. But by zooming out and looking at the situation from a wider perspective, you can gain valuable insights and make more informed decisions. For example, if a toxic coworker is spreading rumors about you, instead of getting caught up in the gossip, ask yourself, what's really going on here? What's motivating this person's behavior? How can I respond in a way that protects my interests and maintains my integrity? By applying rational thinking, you can transform yourself into a stoic superhero armed with the power of logic, reason, and emotional control. You can navigate the treacherous waters of toxic relationships with grace and wisdom, emerging stronger and more resilient than ever before. Remember, As the modern-day philosopher and author Sam Harris puts it, the ability to see the world clearly, without the distorting lens of delusion and prejudice, is the essence of wisdom. So, embrace your inner stoic, cultivate your rational mind, and let it be your guiding light in the face of toxicity. If you find value in this video, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your family and friends. And write, "Keep it up," in the comments below. 5. Embrace the art of non-reaction, your stoic Jedi mind. Trick. All right, my fellow emotional ninjas, let's talk about a skill that can make you as unflappable as a Zen master in the face of toxic drama. The art of non-reaction. Now, before you envision yourself as a stone-faced statue, devoid of all emotion, let me clarify. Non-reaction isn't about suppressing your feelings or becoming a passive doormat. It's about mastering your emotions, choosing your responses wisely, and refusing to be drawn into the toxic vortex of negativity. Think of it like this. You're a martial artist facing a skilled opponent. They throw punches, kicks, and insults, trying to provoke you into a fight. But you remain calm, centered, and focused, anticipating their moves and deflecting their attacks with effortless grace. Similarly, when dealing with toxic people, it's essential to maintain your composure and not react impulsively to their provocations. Non-reaction is your secret weapon, your Jedi mind trick that disarms their negativity and protects your inner peace. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Marcus Aurelius, understood the power of non-reaction. He said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." This is the essence of Stoic philosophy, the idea that we can't control the actions of others, but we can control our own thoughts, emotions, and reactions. In the modern world, this concept is echoed by the author and speaker, Eckhart Tolle, who reminds us that whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. This doesn't mean we condone toxic behavior. It means we don't allow it to control our emotional state. So, how do we embrace the art of non-reaction? It starts with awareness. We need to recognize when we're being triggered by a toxic person's words or actions. Are we feeling angry, hurt, or defensive? Are we tempted to lash out or retaliate? Once we're aware of our triggers, we can choose to pause, take a deep breath, and respond with intention rather than reaction. This might mean walking away from the situation, changing the subject, or simply remaining silent. It's important to remember that non-reaction isn't about ignoring the problem or pretending it doesn't exist. It's about choosing a more empowered response, one that doesn't fuel the drama or escalate the conflict. One way to practice non-reaction is through mindfulness. By paying attention to the present moment without judgment, we can create space between ourselves and our emotions. We can observe our thoughts and feelings as they arise without getting caught up in them. Another powerful tool is reframing. This involves changing the way we think about a situation, looking at it from a different perspective. For example, instead of seeing a toxic person's insult as a personal attack, we can reframe it as a reflection of their own unhappiness or insecurity. Non-reaction also involves setting healthy boundaries. This means knowing what you will and won't tolerate and communicating those boundaries clearly and firmly. It might mean limiting your contact with a toxic person or even cutting ties altogether if necessary. Remember, non-reaction isn't about being passive or weak. It's about taking the high road, maintaining your dignity, and refusing to be dragged down into the mud. It's about choosing peace over drama, wisdom over reactivity, and empowerment over victimhood. As the great Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. So, choose to see the world through the lens of compassion, understanding, and non-reaction. You'll be amazed at how much more peaceful and empowered you feel. 6. Limit your exposure, the Stoic art of strategic retreat. All right, my fellow emotional strategists, let's talk about a tactic that can be as crucial as a well-timed retreat in a battle, limiting your exposure to toxic people. Now, before you start picturing yourself as a hermit, living in a cave and avoiding all human contact, let me clarify. This isn't about shutting yourself off from the world or becoming a misanthrope. It's about strategically choosing who you allow into your inner circle and how much time and energy you invest in those relationships. Think of it like this. You're a gardener tending to a beautiful plot of land. You've carefully cultivated the soil, planted seeds of positivity, and nurtured them with love and care. But then, you notice some pesky weeds starting to sprout up, threatening to choke out your precious plants. What do? You don't just let the weeds take over, do you? No, you take action. You pull them out, you weed them out, you do whatever it takes to protect your garden and ensure its continued growth and vitality. Similarly, when dealing with toxic people, it's essential to limit your exposure to their negativity. This doesn't mean you have to cut them out of your life completely, although sometimes that's necessary. It means setting healthy boundaries, choosing your battles wisely, and prioritizing your own well-being. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Seneca, understood the importance of limiting exposure to negativity. He said, "Associate with people who are likely to improve you." This doesn't mean surrounding yourself with yes men or people who always agree with you. It means seeking out relationships that challenge you to grow, that inspire you to be your best self, and that support your journey towards virtue and wisdom. In the modern world, this concept is echoed by the author and speaker Brené Brown, who encourages us to cultivate wholehearted living. This means surrounding ourselves with people who love us unconditionally, who accept us for who we are, and who challenge us to be our best selves. It means letting go of relationships that drain our energy, undermine our confidence, or make us feel small. So, how do we limit our exposure to toxic people? It starts with awareness. We need to recognize the signs of toxicity, the red flags that indicate someone might be a drain on our energy and well-being. This could be anything from constant complaining and negativity to manipulation, criticism, and emotional abuse. Once we've identified the toxic people in our lives, we can start to set boundaries. This might mean limiting the amount of time we spend with them, avoiding certain topics of conversation, or even ending the relationship altogether, if necessary. It's important to remember that setting boundaries isn't selfish. It's an act of self-care, self-preservation, and self-love. It's about prioritizing your own well-being and creating a life that's filled with positive, supportive, and uplifting relationships. Limiting your exposure to toxic people also means being mindful of the information you consume. In today's world, we're constantly bombarded with negative news, social media drama, and other forms of toxic content. This can take a toll on our mental and emotional health, leaving us feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and depressed. By being mindful of what we consume, we can protect ourselves from this onslaught of negativity. This might mean limiting our time on social media, unfollowing accounts that trigger negative emotions, or seeking out positive and uplifting content. Remember, you are the gatekeeper of your mind. You have the power to choose what you allow in and what you keep out. By limiting your exposure to toxic people and information, You're creating a sanctuary for your inner peace, a haven where you can recharge, refocus, and reconnect with your true self. As the Dalai Lama said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. By limiting your exposure to negativity, you're not only protecting yourself, but you're also creating space for more compassion, joy, and peace in your life. So, be mindful, be selective, and be kind to yourself. Your well-being depends on it. If you find value in this video, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your family and friends. And write, "Keep it up," in the comments below. 7. Build your support system, your stoic phalanx against toxicity. All right, my fellow warriors of well-being, let's talk about something that's as essential to your emotional survival as a shield is to a Spartan soldier, your support system. In the ancient world, the phalanx was a military formation of tightly packed soldiers, each one protecting the other, creating an impenetrable wall of defense. In our modern lives, we face a different kind of battle, a battle against negativity, toxicity, and emotional drain. And just like those Spartan warriors, we need a phalanx of our own, a network of trusted allies who can support us, uplift us, and help us stay strong in the face of adversity. Think of it this way. You're a lone wolf howling at the moon. You're strong, independent, and capable, but even the fiercest wolf needs a pack for support, camaraderie, and protection. Your support system is your pack, your tribe, your chosen family. They're the people who know you, love you, and accept you for who you are, flaws and all. The Stoics, those wise philosophers who lived in ancient Greece and Rome, understood the importance of community and connection. They believed that we're all interconnected, part of a larger whole, and that we thrive when we support and uplift one another. Seneca, a prominent Stoic philosopher, emphasized the importance of surrounding ourselves with virtuous people. He said, "Associate with people who are likely to improve you." This doesn't mean surrounding yourself with perfect people or people who always agree with you. It means seeking out relationships that challenge you to grow, that inspire you to be your best self, and that hold you accountable to your values. In today's world, this concept is echoed by the author and researcher Brené Brown, who emphasizes the importance of belonging and connection. She says, "We are hardwired to connect with others. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. Your support system is your lifeline, your anchor, your safe harbor in the storm of life. So, how do you build this support system? It starts with identifying the people in your life who genuinely care about you, who lift you up, and who make you feel good about yourself. These are the people you want to invest in, to nurture, and to cherish. It's also important to expand your circle of support. This might mean joining a club, taking a class, volunteering for a cause you care about, or simply reaching out to new people and making connections. Remember, your support system doesn't have to be limited to family and friends. It can include mentors, coaches, therapists, spiritual advisors, or anyone else who can offer guidance, support, and encouragement. But building a support system isn't just about finding the right people. It's also about being the right person. It's about being a good friend, a supportive partner, a caring family member. It's about showing up for others, offering a listening ear, and lending a helping hand. As the Dalai Lama said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. By cultivating compassion and empathy, we not only strengthen our relationships, but also create a more positive and supportive environment for ourselves and others. Building a strong support system takes time, effort, and intention. It's not something that happens overnight. But with patience and persistence, you can create a network of trusted allies who will be there for you through thick and thin. Remember, you're not alone in this battle against toxicity. You have a whole phalanx of support behind you, ready to help you conquer any challenge and achieve your dreams. So, reach out, connect, and build your tribe. Your emotional well-being depends on it. 8. Prioritize self-care, your stoic spa day, minus the toga. All right, my fellow warriors of well-being, let's talk about something that's as essential to your emotional survival as a shield is to a Spartan soldier: self-care. Now, before you roll your eyes and dismiss this as fluffy nonsense, let me assure you, this is serious business. In fact, it's a concept that's deeply rooted in Stoic philosophy, the ancient wisdom that teaches us to cultivate inner peace, resilience, and virtue. Think of it like this. You're a high-performance sports car. You wouldn't expect to run at peak performance without regular maintenance, tune-ups, and the occasional pit stop, would you? Well, the same goes for your mind, body, and spirit. They need regular care and attention to function optimally. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Seneca, understood the importance of self-care. He said, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it." In other words, life is too precious to waste on stress, burnout, and emotional exhaustion. We need to prioritize self-care so we can show up as our best selves, both for ourselves and for others. But self-care isn't just about bubble baths and face masks, although those can be nice too. It's about taking a holistic approach to your well-being, nurturing your mind, body, and spirit. It's about creating habits and rituals that support your physical, emotional, and mental health. So, what does Stoic self-care look like in the modern world? It might involve physical self-care. This could include exercise, healthy eating, getting enough sleep, and taking breaks throughout the day. Think of it like fueling your body with premium gas and giving it the rest it needs to perform at its best. Emotional self-care. This might involve journaling, meditation, spending time in nature, or talking to a therapist or trusted friend. It's about processing your emotions, managing stress, and cultivating inner peace. Mental self-care. This could include reading, learning new things, engaging in creative pursuits, or simply taking time to relax and de-stress. It's about stimulating your mind, expanding your knowledge, and finding joy in the simple things. Spiritual self-care. This might involve prayer, meditation, spending time in nature, or connecting with a community of like-minded individuals. It's about nourishing your soul, finding meaning and purpose in life, and connecting with something bigger than yourself. The key is to find what works for you and to make self-care a non-negotiable part of your routine. It's not selfish, it's essential. When you take care of yourself, you're better equipped to handle the challenges of life, including dealing with toxic people. Think of it like putting on your own oxygen mask first, before assisting others. You can't help others if you're not taking care of yourself. In the words of the modern-day mindfulness teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, the most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. When mindfulness embraces those we love, they will bloom like flowers. By prioritizing self-care, you're not only blooming yourself, but also creating a more positive and loving environment for those around you. So, my friends, make self-care a priority. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity, It's your secret weapon against negativity, your shield against burnout, and your pathway to a more fulfilling and joyful life. Remember, as the great Audre Lorde said, caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. So, take care of yourself, my friends. The world needs you at your best. 9. Setting firm boundaries, your stoic no trespassing sign. All right, my fellow guardians of personal peace, let's talk about an essential skill for navigating the toxic terrain of human relationships, setting firm boundaries. Now, this isn't about building a wall and isolating yourself from the world. It's about creating a clear demarcation line, a no trespassing sign for your emotional well-being. Think of it like this. You're the ruler of your own personal kingdom, a sovereign nation with its own laws, customs, and values. You wouldn't let just anyone waltz into your castle and start making demands, would you? No, you'd have guards at the gate, protecting your realm from invaders and ensuring that only those who respect your sovereignty are allowed entry. Similarly, in the realm of relationships, boundaries are your guards, your protectors, your first line of defense against toxicity. They define what you will and won't tolerate, what you'll allow into your sacred space, and what you'll keep out. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Seneca, understood the importance of boundaries. He said, "If you would escape your troubles, you need not another place, but another personality." In other words, it's not about running away from difficult people. It's about changing how we interact with them. And that starts with setting clear boundaries. Now, setting boundaries isn't always easy. It can feel uncomfortable, especially if you're dealing with a toxic person who's used to pushing your buttons and getting their way. But it's essential for your emotional well-being. Without boundaries, you're like a house with an open door, inviting in all sorts of unwanted guests, energy vampires, drama queens, and other toxic creatures. So, how do you set firm boundaries? It starts with self-awareness. You need to know what your values are, what you're willing to compromise on, and what you absolutely won't tolerate. This requires introspection, honesty, and a willingness to dig deep. Once you know your boundaries, you need to communicate them clearly and consistently. This doesn't mean being aggressive or confrontational. It means being assertive, calm, and direct. It means saying no when you need to, without feeling guilty or obligated to explain yourself. Think of it like training a dog. You wouldn't let a dog jump on you, bark incessantly, or chew up your furniture, would you? No. You'd set clear rules and consequences, and you'd enforce them consistently. The same goes for toxic people. You need to set clear boundaries and enforce them consistently, even if it means facing resistance or pushback. But setting boundaries isn't just about saying no. It's also about saying yes to yourself. It's about prioritizing your own needs, values, and well-being. It's about creating a life that's aligned with your authentic self, not the expectations of others. As the modern-day author and speaker Glennon Doyle says, "We can do hard things." Setting boundaries can be hard, but it's also incredibly empowering. It's a way of saying, "I respect myself enough to protect my energy, my time, and my emotional well-being." Remember, boundaries aren't about controlling others. They're about taking control of your own life. They're about creating a safe and sacred space where you can thrive, flourish, and be your best self. So, my friends, don't be afraid to set those boundaries. Draw that line in the sand, put up that no trespassing sign, and protect your inner kingdom. You deserve to live a life that's free from toxicity, drama, and emotional vampires. And by setting firm boundaries, you're creating the space for that life to unfold. 10. Engage in cognitive reframing, your mental jujitsu for toxic takedowns. All right, my fellow mind warriors, let's talk about a technique that can turn you into a mental jujitsu master in the face of toxic takedowns, cognitive reframing. Now, before you start picturing yourself in a dojo, sparring with your inner demons, let me explain. Cognitive reframing isn't about denying reality or pretending everything is sunshine and rainbows. It's about changing your perspective, shifting your focus, and choosing how you interpret and respond to events. Think of it like this. You're wearing a pair of glasses with smudged lenses. Everything you see is distorted, blurry, and out of focus. But when you clean those lenses, suddenly the world becomes clear, vibrant, and full of possibilities. Similarly, when we're dealing with toxic people, our perception can become clouded by negativity, anger, and resentment. We see everything through a lens of judgment and criticism, which only amplifies the toxicity and makes us feel worse. But cognitive reframing allows us to clean our mental lenses, to see the situation more objectively, and to choose a more empowering response. It's like a mental reset button, a way to break free from the negative thought patterns that keep us stuck in a cycle of reactivity and pain. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Epictetus, were masters of cognitive reframing. They understood that our emotions are often based on irrational beliefs and interpretations, and that by challenging those beliefs, we can change our emotional experience. Epictetus said, "Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them." This is a powerful reminder that our reality is shaped by our perception, and that by changing our perception, we can change our reality. So how do we engage in cognitive reframing? It starts with awareness. We need to recognize the negative thoughts and beliefs that are triggered by toxic situations. Are we catastrophizing, assuming the worst? Are we personalizing, taking things personally that aren't about us? Are we mind reading, assuming we know what others are thinking or feeling? Once we've identified these negative thought patterns, we can challenge them with questions like, is this thought really true? What evidence do I have to support this belief? Is there another way to look at this situation? What's the most helpful and empowering way to think about this? By questioning our thoughts, we can break free from their grip and choose a more positive and empowering perspective. It's like switching from a black and white movie to a full-color IMAX experience. Another powerful tool for cognitive reframing is gratitude. When we focus on what we're grateful for, we shift our attention away from negativity and towards abundance. It's like turning up the volume on the good things in our lives and turning down the volume on the bad. We can also practice cognitive reframing by focusing on the lessons we can learn from challenging situations. As the modern-day Stoic Ryan Holiday puts it, "The obstacle is the way." Every obstacle, every setback, every toxic encounter is an opportunity for growth and self-discovery. By reframing challenges as opportunities, we can turn adversity into advantage. Cognitive reframing is a powerful tool, but it takes practice and patience. It's not about denying our feelings or pretending everything is perfect. It's about choosing how we respond to challenges, focusing on the positive, and finding meaning in every experience. Remember, as the great Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." So choose to reframe your thoughts, choose to focus on the good, and choose to create a reality that's aligned with your highest values and aspirations. 11. Focus on positive activities, your Stoic antidote to toxicity. All right, my fellow positivity warriors, let's talk about a strategy that can transform your life from a battlefield of negativity into a haven of joy and fulfillment, focusing on positive activities. Now, before you roll your eyes and dismiss this as fluffy self-help jargon, let me assure you, this is a concept that's deeply rooted in Stoic philosophy, the ancient wisdom that teaches us to cultivate inner peace, resilience, and virtue. Think of it like this. Your mind is a garden, and your thoughts are the seeds. If you plant seeds of negativity, doubt, and fear, you'll reap a harvest of weeds that choke out the beauty and potential of your life. But if you plant seeds of positivity, gratitude, and joy, you'll cultivate a flourishing garden that nourishes your soul and attracts abundance. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Marcus Aurelius, understood the power of focusing on the positive. He said, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts." In other words, our thoughts shape our reality, and by choosing to focus on the positive, we can create a more joyful and fulfilling life. But focusing on positive activities isn't just about thinking happy thoughts. It's about taking action, engaging in activities that bring us joy, fulfillment, and a sense of purpose. It's about filling our lives with experiences that uplift our spirits, expand our minds, and connect us to our passions. So, what are some positive activities we can focus on? The possibilities are endless, but here are a few ideas to get you started. Spend time in nature. The natural world has a way of calming our minds, soothing our souls, and reminding us of the beauty and interconnectedness of all things. Take a walk in the park, hike in the woods, or simply sit by a river and listen to the sound of the water. Engage in creative pursuits. Whether it's painting, writing, music, dance, or any other form of creative expression, tap into your inner artist and let your imagination run wild. Creativity is a powerful antidote to negativity, a way to channel your emotions and express your unique voice. Connect with loved ones. Spend quality time with the people who lift you up, make you laugh, and support your dreams. Surround yourself with positive energy and let their love and encouragement fuel your spirit. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to reflect on the things you're grateful for. This could be as simple as writing in a gratitude journal, expressing your appreciation to someone, or simply taking a moment to savor the good things in your life. Learn something new. Expand your mind by reading books, taking courses, attending workshops, or simply exploring new ideas and perspectives. Learning is a lifelong journey, and it can bring immense joy and fulfillment. Help others. Volunteer your time, donate to a cause you care about, or simply offer a helping hand to someone in need. Giving back is a powerful way to connect with your community, make a difference in the world, and boost your own happiness. The key is to find activities that resonate with you, that bring you joy and a sense of purpose. Don't feel pressured to do what everyone else is doing. Follow your own path, explore your own interests, and create a life that's uniquely yours. Remember, as the modern-day philosopher and author Dalai Lama says, "Happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. By choosing to focus on positive activities, you're taking responsibility for your own happiness and creating a life that's filled with joy, meaning, and purpose. So, my friends, let go of the negativity, embrace the positive, and fill your life with activities that light you up. It's not about ignoring the challenges or pretending everything is perfect. It's about choosing to focus on the good, to cultivate joy, and to create a life that's truly worth living. 12. Maintaining emotional distance, your stoic force field against negative energy. All right, my fellow emotional ninjas, let's talk about a skill that can make you as slippery as a greased pig in the face of toxic drama. Maintaining emotional distance. Now, before you start picturing yourself floating in a bubble, completely detached from the world, let me clarify. Emotional distance isn't about becoming cold, aloof, or uncaring. It's about creating a healthy space between yourself and the negativity of others, so you can respond with wisdom, compassion, and grace, rather than reacting with anger, hurt, or resentment. Think of it like this. You're a deep-sea diver, exploring the depths of the ocean. You're surrounded by fascinating creatures, vibrant colors, and breathtaking beauty. But you also know that there are dangers lurking in the depths, sharks, jellyfish, and other potentially harmful creatures. So, what do? You don't just jump in without any protection, do you? No, you wear a wetsuit, a mask, and flippers. You maintain a safe distance from the dangerous creatures, observing them with curiosity and respect, but not allowing them to harm you. Similarly, when dealing with toxic people, it's essential to maintain emotional distance. This doesn't mean you ignore their behavior or pretend it doesn't affect you. It means you don't allow their negativity to penetrate your core, to poison your thoughts, or to derail your emotional well-being. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Marcus Aurelius, understood the importance of emotional distance. He said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." This is the essence of Stoic philosophy, the idea that we can't control the actions of others, but we can control our own thoughts, emotions, and reactions. In the modern world, this concept is echoed by the psychologist and author, Dr. Kristin Neff, who developed the concept of self-compassion. She says, "Instead of mercilessly judging and criticizing yourself for various inadequacies or shortcomings, self-compassion means you are kind and understanding when confronted with personal failings." So, how do we maintain emotional distance? It starts with awareness. We need to recognize when we're getting emotionally entangled with a toxic person. Are we taking their words or actions personally? Are we feeling angry, hurt, or defensive? Are we getting sucked into their drama? Once we're aware of our emotional reactions, we can choose to step back and create some distance. This might mean physically removing ourselves from the situation, taking a break from the conversation, or simply shifting our focus to something more positive. It's also important to remember that emotional distance doesn't mean emotional detachment. We can still care about the person, even if we don't agree with their behavior. We can still offer compassion and understanding, even if we don't allow their negativity to affect us. One way to maintain emotional distance is through mindfulness. By paying attention to the present moment without judgment, we can create space between ourselves and our emotions. We can observe our thoughts and feelings as they arise without getting caught up in them. Another powerful tool is cognitive reframing. This involves changing the way we think about a situation, looking at it from a different perspective. For example, instead of seeing a toxic person's criticism as a personal attack, we can reframe it as a reflection of their own insecurity or unhappiness. Maintaining emotional distance also involves setting healthy boundaries. This means knowing what you will and won't tolerate, and communicating those boundaries clearly and firmly. It might mean limiting your contact with a toxic person, or even cutting ties altogether if necessary. Remember, maintaining emotional distance isn't about being cold or aloof. It's about protecting your emotional well-being and choosing to focus on the positive. It's about cultivating inner peace, even in the midst of external chaos. As the great Maya Angelou said, "You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. So, choose to maintain your emotional distance, choose to focus on the good, and choose to create a life that's filled with joy, peace, and positivity." 13. Use stoic visualization techniques, your mental movie theater for a resilient mind. All right, my fellow mental cinematographers, get ready to roll out the red carpet for your imagination, because we're about to dive into the powerful world of stoic visualization techniques. Now, before you start picturing yourself in a toga, meditating on a mountaintop, let me assure you, this isn't about escaping reality or living in a fantasy world. It's about harnessing the power of your mind to create a more resilient, empowered, and joyful you. Think of it like this. Your mind is a movie theater, and you're the director. You have the power to choose what plays on the screen, the scenes, the characters, the emotions. You can create a blockbuster of positivity, resilience, and inner peace. Or you can let the toxic thoughts and feelings of others play on an endless loop. The ancient Stoics, like the philosopher Seneca, understood the power of visualization. They believed that our thoughts have a direct impact on our emotions and actions, and that by visualizing positive outcomes, we can cultivate a more optimistic and resilient mindset. Seneca said, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality. This is a powerful reminder that our fears and anxieties are often amplified by our own thoughts, and that by changing our mental imagery, we can change our emotional experience." In the modern world, this concept is echoed by the sports psychologist Dr. Jim Lehrer, who has worked with Olympic athletes and Fortune 500 executives. He says, "Visualization is daydreaming with a purpose. By creating a vivid mental picture of our desired outcomes, we can program our minds for success and attract those outcomes into our reality." So, how do we use stoic visualization techniques to deal with toxic people? It starts with creating a mental image of yourself as a calm, centered, and resilient individual. Imagine yourself responding to negativity with grace, wisdom, and compassion. See yourself setting firm boundaries, maintaining emotional distance, and choosing your reactions wisely. Next, visualize specific scenarios where you might encounter toxic behavior. Imagine yourself interacting with that difficult coworker, that critical family member, or that energy-draining friend. See yourself responding with confidence, composure, and unwavering inner peace. As you visualize these scenarios, pay attention to your emotions. What do you feel? Are you calm, confident, and in control? Or are you feeling anxious, angry, or defensive? If you're feeling negative emotions, take a few deep breaths, refocus your attention on your desired outcome, and try again. The key is to make your visualizations as vivid and realistic as possible. Engage all your senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. Imagine the details of the environment, the expressions on people's faces, the tone of their voices. The more real it feels, the more powerful the impact on your subconscious mind. You can also use visualization to create a mental shield of protection. Imagine yourself surrounded by a bubble of white light, deflecting negativity and absorbing only positive energy. This can be a powerful tool for protecting your emotional well-being in challenging situations. Remember, visualization isn't a magic bullet. It's a tool that can help you cultivate a more positive and resilient mindset. The more you practice, the more effective it becomes. So, make visualization a regular part of your routine and watch as your inner strength and resilience grow. As we reach the end of this series on dealing with toxic people, I hope you've gained valuable insights and practical tools for navigating the challenges of human relationships. Remember, the Stoic philosophy isn't about becoming a cold, emotionless robot. It's about mastering your emotions, choosing your responses wisely, and living a life of virtue, wisdom, and inner peace. By applying the principles of Stoicism, you can transform toxic situations into opportunities for growth, cultivate resilience in the face of adversity, and create a life that's truly fulfilling. Remember, you are not a victim of circumstance. You are a powerful co-creator of your reality. So, embrace your inner Stoic, tap into your wisdom, and let your light shine. The world needs your unique gifts and your unwavering spirit.